Hello, beautiful souls, and welcome to the Harmony Inspired Health Podcast, an evolution to your higher self, where ancient wisdom meets modern living. I'm Harmony, your podcast host. Leveraging my expertise as an Ayurveda and women's health practitioner and clinical business mentor, I engage in genuine conversations with industry leaders, delving into the realms of health, wellness, Ayurveda, and the art of holistic success. Our mission here is clear: to inspire, educate, and empower you as you step into your higher self, unlocking your true potential and the secrets to embracing a life of purpose and impact. Hit subscribe, and if you're on iTunes, a 5-star rating helps spread the wisdom far and wide. Get ready for a holistic adventure as we explore the path to holistic success. Welcome to the Harmony Inspired Health Podcast and the evolution to your higher self. Before we dive into today's episode, let's give a big shout out to our sponsor, the Ayurveda Alchemist Academy. This cutting-edge program is tailored for health and wellness professionals ready to elevate their practice and for women aspiring to achieve holistic success. Ayurveda Alchemist is your pathway to optimizing health through Ayurvedic wisdom, a true odyssey to unlocking your fullest potential. Whether you're a health professional seeking career fulfillment or a personal health enthusiast yearning for holistic well-being, this certification is your golden ticket. Act fast, because our inner circle is intentionally small to ensure optimal learning guided by industry experts for a personalized, transformative experience. Limited spots are available, so seize the opportunity now. If you're ready to revolutionize your life and make a lasting impact on others by becoming a certified Ayurveda and women's holistic health coach, don't miss out. Apply today at harmonyinspiredhealth.com.au/Ayurveda Alchemist. Hey guys, in this episode, I am the one being interviewed, and I am being interviewed by Beck Feldham from The Red Tent. The Red Tent unites women in business who are passionate about supporting mental, spiritual, and physical health. It is a membership of like-minded women and practitioners who are at the forefront of driving positive change in the world by supporting the community's mental, spiritual, and physical health. And so we take a deep dive into this. This was actually a masterclass. So this was a masterclass for their practitioners. So we take a deep dive into all things hormones, mindset, purpose, career transitions, and navigating motherhood as an entrepreneur, and so, so much more. We loved this conversation, and so we wanted to bring it to the wider community so that you can all get something out of it. I hope you enjoy.
I'm Vincent Stagg, and I am an Ayurveda and women's health practitioner, the founder of the Ayurveda Alchemist Academy, and a clinical business mentor. My background is actually in allopathic Western medicine. So I still am a registered nurse, a clinical nurse, and have been for like since 2005. What's that now? Like 18 years, maybe?
Oh my gosh, that's so long.
So I worked in the emergency department, was my main sort of gig, and also theater, like more of the sort of high intense areas. But I'm also a yoga teacher and a Pilates instructor, and I've always really loved that holistic health side of things. And my journey really started when I had my twin boys. They're now almost 12, so they're 11 and a half, almost 12. And after the birth of my twins, as health practitioners, you guys would know, my hormones went a little bit cray cray. And also my lifestyle, like, you know, introducing not one but two babies at once, the stress, the anxiety, all the things that come with being a new mother. And the allopathic medicine route that I was most familiar with and working in, so Western medicine, really couldn't assist me on that sort of deeper level that I needed the help with. And so I had always dabbled in Ayurveda, but I decided to go all in, and it was just such a profound, transformative experience that it not only helped my physical health and my hormones reestablish and rebalance, but my mental, my emotional, my spiritual self, and just even getting more self-aware and in touch with who I am, what I wanted. So we call this in Ayurveda like our dharmic path, sort of that purpose piece as well. And so I thought I need to study this even more so. I'd already done Ayurvedic psychology and some other certifications along the way, but I went and did an advanced form in Ayurvedic medicine to become an Ayurvedic practitioner
Wow.
and worked with many, many clients specializing in women's hormonal health and saw such beautiful transformative experiences with those clients. But what I was noticing, the beauty of what Ayurveda did is it doesn't just look at the physical health, it as I mentioned, the emotional, the spiritual, the mental health. But a big piece that was always missing for these women was that sort of dharmic impact, that purpose, that connection to self and what they're here for, you know? And a lot of women who have had children and they've gone from a career or whatever they're doing, traveling, you have children, your identity, it does have this shift and this change, and that gets a lot of questions coming up for a lot of women, and this can cause a lot of stress and uncertainty in their life. And we know that stress has a direct impact on hormones, and so until we can get all the pieces together, the progress of their result is more so limited. And then what I found is because I was setting up my business to work within sort of school hours, I was attracting a lot of women entrepreneurs. And I had been in business. So I should say, caveat this with, whilst I was nursing, I was always dabbling in businesses as well, side hustles. I had activewear brands, I did
Oh my God, how did you
medical.
have time?
And I've always sort of had that sort of mindset of entrepreneurial mindset. So I was always doing little businesses on the side as well. And a lot of women I was attracting into my practice for hormonal help were women in business. And so I started to see like emerging patterns with these women and how Ayurveda not only helped them with their own personal health and their life goals, but also their business. Because in Ayurveda, a really special a component of Ayurveda is the doshas, which are the three mind-body energy types, our bioconstitution, and everyone has an individual mind-body type. And it is like our fingerprint. We all have different components of each of the doshas. We all have all three within us, but all different components. And these will drive our mental capacity, our physical body, our prevalence for the diseases that we may be exposed to in life, but also the way we show up as an entrepreneur, as a businesswoman, or as a healer, a health practitioner. It really has such an impact on everything we do because it's our mind-body constitution, our bioconstitution.
That's wild. I have goosebumps and I have so many questions already, but I'll be quiet. That's so interesting. Like, oh my God. Okay. I feel like so many of us are going to book in straight away with you. I'm already like, my nervous system needs you.
I know, right?
Oh,
Especially as
cool.
like we give so much ourselves as practitioners and healers, and it's really about how can we do that? Because sometimes that burns us out, right? Like how can we be in alignment with our dharma, with our purpose, and do that, but also make sure that we are aligning ourself to how we want to show up and how we want to feel. And if we're burnout practitioners, that just doesn't happen. And then we notice our own health slipping, and then we're like, you guys know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah,
We've
it's
been there.
so wild. Like I can think of so many of the women here already, and even like one of my I've just done our marketing plan for the next 6 months, and one of like our whole month is focused on like trying not to burn out and self-sabotage and all those sorts of things. So this is so great. I have to have you on the podcast as well. I'm already like excited. No, that's awesome. Sorry, keep going.
No, so after seeing and helping women with, gut health as well, so gut health, hormonal health, and a lot of them being in their own business, I saw patterns emerging and I saw what was really helping and certain aspects of their life that you wouldn't think someone who has booked in to see you for hormonal health, you would end up going down that path with. But it seemed to be like a really common phenomenon. So I developed my higher self methodology, which is so that these women who are coming to see me, whether it's for their hormone health, their gut health, what is the one big thing? What's the one big result that they all want, right? They all wanted to be able to step into their higher self. And that is a deeply personal and evolving journey. But it's about becoming the best version of yourself in alignment with your inner values, your spiritual beliefs, and desire to contribute positively to your own life and the lives of others, especially for women entrepreneurs. Like being able to contribute positively to the lives of others and health practitioners, health and wellness people is such a big component of our identity, of what we do and who we are. One big result that someone can achieve by being able to step into their higher self really came down to the goal of authentic fulfillment. And when we can feel that authentic fulfillment, we can really, that is the epitome of optimal health and well-being, right? And so it allows us to align with our true values, our purpose, and our true potential. And so I worked out that to step into your higher self, to evolve to this person, or maybe she's always there, she's already there, but to actually witness her and be aware of her and let her come out of her shell, we should say, because it's already innately within us. I drew on a lot of the Ayurvedic concepts and with the women I was seeing, and even like my background in allopathic medicine and the people, the patients I would see bounce in and out of hospital and the limitations I saw there, but also the beauty and the limitations and the beauty of Eastern medicine as well. And I felt that there were three pillars that really need to amalgamate for you to be able to step into your higher self so that you can be successful in your own health. So this is for women who are coming in with health problems or in your own life or your own business. So they were health alchemy. So we really needed to address all aspects of health. And that's what Ayurveda does so beautifully. As I keep saying, it's the physical health. So we do treat physical health. I do look up lab tests and prescribed labs. And, you know, we do all that. So we see the pathology, the stool tests, everything. So we look at the physical body, we look at the physical symptoms, because we have to live in this physical body and we need it to be very capable and able to drive us through this life and become our potential, right? So physical health is important. Our mental and emotional health, super, super important. Our spiritual health, that deeper connection, and that might freak some people out, but it doesn't mean all crazy woo-woo things. It could just be connection to self, that deeper part of yourself. You might, and anyone can practice Ayurveda from any religion and background. So that spiritual is what that means to you. And then that last point is that dharmic impact. So where are we creating purpose-driven changes in our lives? Where are we creating impact in our own life, the lives of others? Are we feeling like we're on purpose, on path? And Dharma doesn't always mean that you have to have this bigger, higher purpose and it has to be your career. Dharma actually means right action. So if you are, for instance, about to cross the road at you're on foot and the light goes red and you need to cross the road because you're rushing to work, you're already late and you're super, super busy and you're like, oh my God. But then this old lady's next to you and she's like, her groceries are falling out the bag and you're like, oh my God, I can't deal with her. I need to run across the road, and run across the road and you go to work. You feel a little shitty for the rest of the day, or you just feel like, oh, stressed and angst. You haven't acted on your dharmic path. But if you were maybe to help and assist this lady, help her across the road, get to work, go, look, I'm so sorry. Like, I don't like being late, but I'm late. I had to help this lady, like full transparency. You just feel better about yourself. You know, you're stepping into that dharma, the purpose for that day. Your purpose can evolve and change as well throughout your lifespan. So if you are a mother, when you give birth to that child, your dharma is to be a mother to that child and to help them grow up. So you may have many dharma and many purpose, but it's all about this dharmic path that you're on. And if you're not aligning with the services you're offering to your clients, or if you're in a career, you're not aligning to the job, that this then this can cause disharmony in your mind, body, your bioconstitution, your dosha, which I explained at the start. So that's pillar one.
So cool. I love that. Is it like, and as well, like they, it's sort of, you can help them like identify the symptoms and things like that. Like if it's starting to feel out of alignment, not only their business, but because so many of our practitioners have kids as well and families. And then some of them are studying like other sort of modalities as well. Can you sort of help to identify like those, like, I don't know, when it starts to feel a bit like, yeah, like you said with the example, can you help them identify that and sort of like navigate that with them?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what it's all about. It's like, what part of holistic health, because we throw holistic health around, but what part of them are looking at those five aspects is the one that's more so aligned, out of alignment. And if you leave it for too long, it'll impact the other parts of your
body. Yeah, yeah, that's it. I think friction was the word I was looking for. You can like start to feel the friction in like each part of your life and like snapping at your partner or something like that, or snapping at your kids. Yeah, that's great.
No, yeah, absolutely. And then so the second pillar is the empowered mind paradigm. And this is really looking at the way that our mind functions through Ayurvedic psychology approach, because we see the mind quite differently or more complex than what we may see in Western psychology. So this pillar really helps to gain that understanding of the mind from that Ayurvedic perspective, as I mentioned, and how it can impact your beliefs, your thoughts, and your actions. Mm-hmm. We also want to identify limiting core beliefs and learn how to question them and their meaning, and then replace them with new empowered beliefs. And this will really support your higher self. So whether this is a client coming in for, say, hormonal imbalances, or gut health, and I see this a lot with my gut health clients, is they've been struggling with gut health for a long, 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 long time, years and years. And that's why they eventually come and see me. They've tried all the things. And sometimes it's that willingness to change their beliefs and have a momentum of shifts around that, and their gut health diagnosis is where they actually start to make the progress.
Wow.
And for some, it's to do with the treatment, the diet protocols, and all of those things. But for some women, it's actually this underlying core belief that they've held onto for so long. So I've had clients who, when we've gone through this Ayurvedic psychology session in my higher self method, where they come to this realization, who, you know, they've been restrictive eating, so having basically eating disorders for most of their life. And they're like, oh my God, it was never about the food. It was about not being seen, or it was about not being lovable, like getting to those sort of issues. And then being able to look at that healing trajectory from a different lens. And sometimes that's all they need to start to propel them on that, the momentum forward to healing.
Wow. Yeah.
And it's also true for like women in business, and through Ayurveda or practitioners, you know, we're all women in business if we're in service, right? Mm-hmm. Is understanding your own, what we call mental prakriti, which is the way that your mind specifically works according to your bioconstitution.
Mm-hmm.
So that is one. Yeah, so that is the second pillar. And I guess when we're talking about the mind, when we look at it from, I'm trying to make it not go too deep, but
no, you're right. Feel free to go deep.
When we're looking at from understanding our own mental constitution, we delve into the layers of the mind. So that would be understanding the buddhi mind. So there's different aspects of the mind, right? The buddhi, which is our discerning intellect. And then the citta mind, which is our subconscious mind, which sometimes is where the roadblocks are to healing, right?
Yeah.
The manas, which is the sensory mind. The vijnana, which is the intuitive mind. And the ahamkara, which is our ego mind, so our sense of self and our identity.
Mm.
And then we also look at the samskaras, which are the imprints that are left on our mind by what we perceive through our sense organs, and how we can shift those samskaras, because they're often the impressions that are leading to those underlying subconscious beliefs mm-hmm. in that citta mind.
Mm, wow, that's so interesting.
I hope that makes sense.
That made me I'm so excited to, yeah, we definitely have to do a podcast, because I want to even just like that section there, like pulling apart each part of the brain, because it, like you say, it's so interesting that it's like all up here, but it literally dictates the rest of what's around you and like your future. It's so so interesting.
Absolutely. And so then the third pillar is dharmic impact. So this is like such an important pillar that a lot of health and wellness practitioners aren't speaking about in the realms of holistic health.
Mm-hmm.
And so I always identify this with my clients. It might not be straight away. We might, you know, it might take a few sessions, but we always look at this part and how they are going with that. For instance, one of the clients I've got at the moment is coming for hormones. She is feeling this lack in her career, like she should be further along, and it's really upsetting her. It's making her really emotional. She's sort of skipping between jobs and all of that. And when we dug down into this dharmic impact, we realized that she doesn't care about, she doesn't want a career. Like, she wants to work and wants the money, but she wants that to go traveling. And like, society is making her feel like she has to be this go-getter career woman, and it's not what she wants. It's not her dharmic path. Whereas in her creativity, where she loves to sew and she loves to do all these other things, that's where she's finding joy, and she's giving her mm-hmm. the skirt she does to people and all this, and it's got nothing to do with her job. And she doesn't want to excel and push herself in her career. She just understand she's got to go to work to get the money, but it's to fulfill her dharma in another way. And when she understood this, she felt so much more relaxed about her whole situation, and she didn't feel like she had to uphold standards to anyone else other than herself. So that's from a client perspective. But for health and wellness practitioners, in particular women in business, aligning with our purpose often comes through our career. And this is a whole episode in itself, you know, boundaries and how we get there.
Yeah.
But the way that I work this pillar with a lot of my clinical mentorship clients is really creating the soul of your business.
Mm-hmm.
So connecting to the soul of your business and your own unique methodology, because we can all come out as Ayurvedic practitioners or naturopaths or nutritionists, but we all have such, and we could all work in hormones, but we all have such a unique experience that got us to this point in time.
Mm-hmm.
So like, for instance, I have nursing backgrounds. I have yoga, Pilates. I'm also studying a master's in applied science for acupuncture. I've got different things to what the next practitioner has.
Mm-hmm.
The next practitioner may have gone through personal trauma. They may have really delved into psychology. They may have been an accountant. Like, they may have different, you know, not mm-hmm. even in the health field. And it's like, how can we draw on all of these skills that we innately have within us, or we have learned along the way, and put them together to create something we know to be the soul of our business that can get people their changes, that their clients, sorry, the best change and best transformation. And for me, I drew on all of my aspects to create the higher self methodology, and mm-hmm. that is the soul of my business. So whether I'm seeing a one-to-one client, whether I am seeing a business mentor client, or whether I'm teaching the Ayurveda Alchemist students to become Ayurveda and women's holistic health coaches, that methodology is the backbone of every offering I do.
That's incredible. Do you do group sort of settings as well, or is it like you find your best results when you do one-on-one sort of work, or you can sort of take people through like maybe that one methodology in like a workshop sort of setting?
Yeah, so the Ayurveda Alchemist program is a group program. So
Oh, wow, amazing.
everyone that are coming in to be, it's an accredited program to be a certified Ayurveda and women's holistic health coach. So that's all group, and we still go
Stop.
through the whole process. And
Yeah.
with my one-to-one like health clients, I would take them through my methodology over like in say a 90-day, like a 3-month
Yeah.
program.
I
So
was
that.
gonna say it'd have to be like quite in depth. It would be so interesting going to see you for like hormone health. And then, like you said, the woman that was like, oh, I don't want a career, like I want a job. But it's like I love that she came to you for hormone support and then left with like a whole new view on life. It's incredible.
Totally. And she's changed her job within that 9 days as well. She's got a
Stop.
new job. Yeah.
That's so cool. I'll have to introduce you to one of our practitioners, Abby. She used to own like a bikini. She had like a full store and everything, like super successful, sold that, then had a diff similar community to ours, and now she is a flower essence practitioner. And she's like, I just want to be in my garden every day. And then like this is sort of a like way to make money from that stems from that. And I'm just like, we all just aspire to be like Abby. Like it's so incredible what she's like uncovered for herself. But
Yeah.
yeah, that's
Oh.
amazing. The reason I was sort of asking was like, oh, it'd be so great to collaborate on like a workshop or something with our practitioners where they actually pay to see you. And but if you have like offerings like that anyway, that's amazing. Well,
Yeah,
yeah, I'll
no.
have to look into it.
Yeah, I
Yeah.
can definitely do a collab. I do have, I think it's the 13th of February, a masterclass
Okay,
on
cool.
like a breakdown of the methodology. It's the three reasons why Ayurveda can make you a more successful health and wellness practitioner. That's what the masterclass is on, and it's really sort of going through the method.
No, that's great. I'll let them know that as well. Yeah, that's so cool. Sorry, did you have I'll stop asking questions. I felt like you're on such a good flow.
No, it's all good. I'm happy to answer the questions. But yeah, I guess so. When it does come to, we're talking about Dharma, the term Dharma, it has a broader and deeper meaning than its popular use that you may have heard here, especially if you've done yoga or whatnot. You would have heard Dharma as being purpose. But Dharma in the Ayurvedic tradition encompasses various aspects related to an individual's purpose, duty, and righteous living. So that's why I gave the example of helping an elderly woman across the road, even when you're in a rush, because that's sort of duty or it's righteous living. And if you're in a job, so you're not the business owner, but you're working for someone, you still have a duty to show up in your best possible way, right? So that's really what Dharma, it has these key dimensions and aspects, and one of them's that life purpose and duty. So being able to understand your role in society, family, and the world at large, not just related to purpose for career, aligning with the natural order, like this is Dharma is, it's living in harmony with that natural order, and aligning one's actions, choices, and lifestyle in right order as well.
Yeah, perfect.
Self-realization is a huge one, and that's like the lady that I gave as an example who was like, well, hang a minute, I don't even want a career,
Yeah.
It's like coming to these self-realizations and self really understanding what do you want? Because I think we're so good at saying what we don't want, like, no, I don't want that, I don't want that. But if you ask, what do you want? That's always like, oh, I don't know, like, what do I actually want?
Yeah,
And
yeah.
even it's good to reflect on this a lot as health practitioners in our own business. Like, is it making you excited? Do you love what you do? Is what you're doing what you actually want to be doing? Asking those questions.
So good. And like the discernment, like you say, between yeah, what that is. And so often we've noticed a lot of practitioners, and I can't wait to see what happens after they watch your masterclass, because I think so often they all start to collaborate and chat with one another, and then they'll go down a similar path to someone else they've met in the Red Tent, and they're like become a new type of practitioner that offers a new type of modality that sort of serves, yeah, their purpose a lot more.
Yeah.
It's so interesting. Yeah,
Yeah.
cool.
It's good. I think that's the beauty of Ayurveda is in the Alchemist program that we have nutritionists, naturopaths, yoga teacher, because it's a modality that can really fit in with all holistic health measures because it's so deep and broad. Like we go into that philosophy, the psychology, the physical health, the herbs, like all the things. I think that's what is quite complementary for like Western medicine, you know.
Even just having an understanding of it so that like other people can refer to people like you or like your practitioners that you teach as well, because I just think what an amazing, like, what is it? There's like a meme about like how men just use like one like body wash for everything. I feel like Ayurveda is like that, but for like literally your whole being.
I love that.
It's
I need to
like,
create that meme.
yeah, it's like a 30-in-1 like solution.
All in one. Yeah, that's exactly right. An all in
So
one
good.
solution. I love it. And so individualized at the same time. Like we really look at that individual constitution and what elements are in balance, and that's how we treat.
And do you find it like carries through like their whole sort of path? Like it's not sort of like people, maybe people come for like one session, but then it's something that sort of stays with them. Like you work with them for quite a long time.
Yeah, that, and also people come back. Like,
Yeah, I love that.
yeah, so even if they had, like, I remember having a client like years ago, and she came in for a session. And at that time, I was just doing like, you can just book in for one consult. I don't do that now, minimums at least two, but you book in, and then I didn't see her for ages. And you know, when you're like a bit of a more of a new practitioner, and you're like, oh,
Did I do
am I even
something wrong?
helpful? Like, did I, you know, did that just suck? Did I not help at all? Did I give it too much? Like, you're questioning yourself all the time. And it wasn't probably for about like 6 to 8 months. I can't remember now, but a really long time. She booked back in. I was like, uh-oh, like what's she gonna do? And she's like, oh my God, I implemented like some of these things you said. It was so amazing. And she's gone on to study with me and do all these things. And she was one of the clients that I was like, I didn't help her. Like, I gave her so much information, but I don't think she was ready to hear it or whatever it was. And you sort of worried about it. I think when people start to make small changes and implement it and see how holistic it is, even if it's not landing straight away, you like even for myself, right? Like I eventually came back to it, came back to it even after knowing about it and studying it. And then when I really needed it, I did a full 360 with my microphone and came back to it. So yeah.
That's incredible, because I just think like I was just comparing it to myself, for example. Like I found a therapist like 4 years ago and then just stayed with her for the 4 years, and it wasn't like even that I felt like I was suffering from anything at certain points. She definitely helped me through things. It was just like the maintenance side of it. And I feel like this is just such an incredible way, especially if you're a practitioner or a woman in business, to like consistently have something that you can fall back on and support you to for like every aspect of your life. I just think that's like how amazing to have something you can return back to or consistently have each month or week or whatever it is. That's
Yeah.
amazing. I'm so glad I found you.
Me
So
too.
good. No, that's so great. Did you have, sorry, I know I keep stopping you as you're like
No.
running through.
I'm happy, like, yeah, I'm happy to answer any questions that you have. So if you've got questions, yeah.
Yeah, I think what was that other one I was gonna oh, with the hormonal health side of things, or when it comes to women in business or like people like our practitioners, do you see like a common theme of why they're coming to you and sort of those initial sort of symptoms or what they're struggling with?
I mean, stress really drives a lot of hormonal conditions. I mean, there's so many different hormonal conditions. So, you know, we can talk about the thyroid hormones, we can talk about the adrenals, we can talk about the sex hormones, about estrogen and progesterone. But again, with Ayurveda, we don't separate all of the systems because especially the endocrine system is all communicating with each other. So, but a lot of women, they have burnt themselves out. They haven't put in boundaries. They're super stressed. And when we have these experiences, hormones are released. And when excess hormones are released, there's communication pathways that can get, you know, misinterpreted. It can, our levels change. And so those in, like this is the most simplistic terms, but our hormonal levels change to what is natural set point for us, for our individual constitution. And different things like the foods that we're eating, that can put a stress on the body, and people don't recognize it as a stress. The limiting beliefs, the self-doubt, that's a stress on the body. You know, the environment we're in, depending on your natural constitution, like if you're a Vata constitution and it's really windy outside and chaotic, then it's going to make you feel really frazzled and like, oh, my Vata's all out. If you're very Pitta and it's really like you've got a lot of work to do, you've just been go, 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 and it's really hot outside and you're sort of burning that internal fire too much, then you are also going to be more likely to get sort of inflammatory responses. So if you have like endometriosis, for instance, and then you've got a high Pitta constitution, and then you're really burning yourself out and exposing yourself to all of those elements, the inflammation can start to build. A Kapha is more of like that sort of water, earthy element. So they might be getting with their stress, they might have more lower moods, depression. They can get into that sort of adrenal fatigue state and accumulate a lot of body fluid. So everyone's so different. We look at it from their constitution, but also we look at it from like the science as well.
Yeah.
And have I answered that or did I go off?
Yeah, I literally know you all of it. I'm just like, every time you speak, I'm mind blown. I was like, okay. Like, I just am like, we need to do, as in our Red Tent team need to do a session with you, like all of it. Cause I think we're all, like you say, we're all so different. And even when it comes to like working together as a team, like the things you've just described, I like, cause Tiana and Mickey both have kids and I don't, but I'm really like at the moment finding that I'm, what is it? Like the hot one that you said, Peter.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, oh my God. Okay. And then it's like, that affects like my work, I think, like how I show up to do the work. Like I still think I can like produce a high quality, but it's like the process to get there. Do you do work with teams at all? Or like that's so incredible. Yeah, no, so that all you answered a million questions and gave me a million more. I mean, yeah.
So that's good. Something you said before, like when we first jumped on together session. That I was like, oh, I wonder what her Pitta constitution is like.
So funny.
I think about like the workload or managing or lots of things and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's so true. That's so wild. Oh, I love this. I think people are just going to be blown away by like what you do. I think one of the other questions was like, where did you originally study your Ayurveda side of things and like how did you get into that?
Yeah, so I've studied multiple facets of Ayurveda. Okay. I've done Ayurvedic psychology. Yoga teacher training actually has, because Ayurveda is a sister science to yoga. So Ayurveda is health science. Yeah. And yoga is like, they both stem from India and that tradition.
Yeah.
And share similar philosophies.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got a scholarship to do my practitioner training through the States. So
wow, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I did that and where else? Yeah. The main program was like in the States.
Mm-hmm.
But I have done other sort of small courses through here as well.
Yeah. I can imagine it'd be a lot because it's like you're saying, it's so broad. I was just assuming there was like a university for Ayurveda, like an online school or something. But yeah, it's like makes more sense now, like that there's so many facets of it that you'd have to like absorb a lot as you go along. That's so wild.
Well, when you do, like in my training or your practitioner training, you learn it all, but because at the start I was sort of like dabbling in it, so I just had to go all in. So you do learn the holistic
health
thing, but prior to doing that I was sort of like dabbling in, oh, I might do some Ayurvedic, now I'll do the psychology, like just because I kept getting called to it, you know. It was really called to it.
Yeah.
And I was like, finally, no, like, you know, there's obviously a higher calling for you with this science or this holistic art. So that's what I went all in.
Yeah, cool. And when you were talking about being a registered nurse, so interesting because so many of our practitioners have been either in like a scientific background or a finance background. And I just love like asking more questions about that process because I think so many our sort of age demographic is like mid 20s to like almost mid 40s as well. And I'm like super keen to carry through the like early 20s if they're like studying something that they like. For example, my friend dated a girl that's a doctor, like she's just become a doctor, but all she wants to do is be a yoga teacher. But her parents, like her parents were like, no, you can't do that. And I just find that journey really interesting. Did you have like a sort of unraveling where you're like, oh, this was all I was taught, or were you like quite open-minded transitioning from like nursing into Ayurveda?
Yeah, so like I grew up in quite a holistic household. So my parents
that helps.
Quite alternative anyway. Like my name is Harmony.
So, yeah, true.
So I've always been exposed to that sort of natural alternate way. But sometimes you do. Well, no, I didn't really rebel against my parents because back then, like at school, they didn't really I didn't feel like there were, I knew what options were really out there. It's like you become a nurse or a teacher type
thing. Pretty much, yeah.
And my mum was like, you're so good with your animals. You're always bandaging them up. I rode horses and had dogs. Instead of saying you should become a vet, she's like, you should become a nurse because then you can travel. She loved to travel. You can travel.
Oh, cool.
So it was never like, oh, I want to do nursing. I love it. But I did love health. Like I was always very active, very fit and you know, love the health side of things, but I didn't really know what opportunities were out there for me, like, you know, country. And so I went and did nursing and it was never something that I was like, loved. But I did love learning about the body. Like, you know, in school, PE was my favorite subject, learning about the body, the muscle contractions, like everything. And so I did enjoy that part of it, the science of it. And I'm really grateful that I started my health journey there because it gave me such a broad perspective of conditions and health and how we see health in the Western world. And it gave me like a good sort of foundation and basis. And especially when I can relate to clients, if they come in and they are on medications or whatever, they don't feel like, I know a lot of my clients said, oh, I like it because you see both sides of the story. Like I don't feel guilty if I'm on, you know, a medication for something.
That was
sort of that, but it never was like, oh, you know, this, I love nursing.
Saddling,
I did climb up clinical nurse and in independent roles and that, but I was just like, I don't want.
Yeah.
And I was teaching yoga and stuff again on set. Like I said, I've always had side hustles. I've never been content, you know,
what
I was doing. And then when I did decide, like, I want to go all in and be a holistic health practitioner, my nursing actually didn't give me permanent days off to then be able to offer them to clients. I'm like, it's really hard to see clients if your rosters are always. And I was like, so it kind of forced me to make the decision. And then my children were also like, I would fit in clients on weird times. Like it would be just awkward having to arrange the times. I couldn't have a booking, you know, all that kind of stuff. And then my boys eventually were about to start school and they're before school's care started at 7. My shift started at 7. Everything was just like so messy. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go all in, back myself, trust myself and know that, you know, trust my dharmic path and step into that transition, which I did. I did it slowly. So I actually changed. I went and started like I was nursing at health retreat and do different. I was still nursing, but not in the role where I wasn't allowed to have permanent shifts.
Yeah.
And then eventually I was just like,
I'm out. That's so great.
Yeah.
That's such an interesting like way you've transitioned to, like such a smart way. Because I think so often like a lot of people that are studying or like, their mums with already a full-time job, like so many of our practitioners do, they're literally my heroes. Like, I'm like, how do you even do that? I learn from them all the time. But I think that's such a cool way to do it. Like if you can, where you can sort of like, go part-time or go into like a similar role, but not with the same pressures or expectations and things like that. That's so, so interesting. And then when you went all in, were you sort of like, did you, like have any practices that you derived from your studies that you sort of put in place so that you could like support and carry yourself through that start of your business?
Financially, do you mean, or
No, like maybe even related to Ayurveda, like,
Oh, sure. Yeah.
yeah,
Yes.
like
Yes,
to
of course.
support yourself in all areas, yeah, to become that businesswoman.
Yeah, absolutely. So again, like Ayurveda is all about cultivating more self-awareness. So becoming really self-aware about who I am, what I wanted, my direction, that clarity piece, that was really, really helpful because when you understand your own mind-body constitution, you know what practices and even like what business type of momentum you need to sort of do and go down. So that was really helpful. But we have this term in Ayurveda called Dinacharya, which is your daily routine, and that's what really helps set you up for success for your days ahead. And I do it, I even do it now, like when I come into my office and I start before I start work, I'll go and I'll take like three really conscious breaths. I light like an incense or something and just sort of like be in that vibe that I want to be in. And then I'll choose like an essential oil that is appropriate to the dosha that I'm feeling that day. So if
Oh
I
my
need
God.
more energy, then I'll choose like a more kapha enhancing sort of oil. If I'm like feeling like spacy and all vata, I'll be like, I need a grounding one. If I'm feeling like, hot-headed and too go, then I need a cooling oil to help pacify pitta. So that's a practice I still do every morning, and I'm always and I do have like that's just my mini practice before starting work, but I have
How
like
powerful.
it's so and it really just gets you to check in on yourself, realize like how am I feeling today, how do I want to feel, and how can I sort of honor that.
Instead of just showing up and like diving in like me every day. I'm
Yeah.
just like, right, let's go. What are we gonna do?
I actually did that today and it threw me because I had to my one of my boys started swim squad early this morning. I wanted to go to yoga, but I had to go pick him straight from there. Then I had an 8 a.m. client call. I was like, oh, so I just started like jumping
Oh
around
my
off,
gosh.
diving in. I'm like, after that, I did my little routine before my next time. But I was like, I feel so different when I don't haven't grounded in the day.
That's oh, okay. I'm learning so much. And it's something like this is the thing. It's funny because like I know all this stuff. Like I've researched like not Ayurveda specifically, but so many self-development tools and all these things over the years. But I think it's just interesting when you actually implement them and when you don't. And if you can like simplify, even because like I think so often we get overwhelmed with like the morning routine and you see what other people are doing and you're like, oh, it doesn't look aesthetic or like whatever, but it's, I'd imagine it's like more so how you feel. 'Cause one of the things I used to do, which I did put on my vision board for this year that I have to do again, is bilateral drawing to like reset your nervous system and things like that. And my therapist gave that to me a while ago and I was like, why don't I still do that every morning? Like it helped me so much. But I just think, yeah, like something that you've created a habit now. It's not even like, it's like a daily practice, but it's literally a habit that's built into your day. Yeah,
Yeah,
I love that.
absolutely. And again, like everyone's so different. So what resonates with some people isn't gonna res you gotta find the right one. It's like if I was told to sit down and journal for half an hour in the morning and do a meditation, it's just not me. Like it's I do like the meditations and all that, but it can't be on a journal, it can't be the first thing. And to be honest, I don't like I had on my sort of vision board as well, like gratitude journal and every morning, and I'm like, come on, Harmony, you're not going to do that. Like, it's not,
Literally,
you're not going to prioritize it because it's important to you and you want to do it, but that's not the way you can do it. So I said to myself, you don't have to always stick to the right way to do things. So I have gratitude showers now because I like to be able to have it stuck. And so I go in the shower, I call it my gratitude shower, and I literally say out loud everything I'm grateful for. I love the water washing over me, and I'm done. I've done my gratitude journaling, but it's been vocal, it does.
I love that. I'm using that term, habit stack. I'm everything you say, I'm obsessed with. Okay, we're gonna do habit stacking because
Yeah,
we'd be
as a
busy.
visitor, you would like the habit stack.
Okay, sounds great. And I feel like Mickey would love that as well. because she's not a journaler either. We always used to talk about that, like, oh, we should get into gratitude journaling. This is like years ago when it first started, like all the health blogs started. And I'm like, oh, just don't have time. Well, not even time for that. It's like, I would rather, yeah, spend my time in the shower maybe than.
Yes,
Yeah, I
exactly.
love that. And then is there much that you do now with the way that your life is outside of sitting down to work? Like, is there anything you sort of do with like your boys or anything like that that you sort of integrate? It's probably everything in your every minute of every day that you use Ayurveda, but is there anything that you find really grounds you, like, yeah, when you're running between swimming lessons and all that sort of stuff?
Yeah, so they, for them, they actually love to do some meditation and yoga. I mean, it's not long or anything, but just themselves. And even though they're twins, they're two very different constitutions.
Yeah.
And they understand that. And we've had to really highlight that they're really different people. So I've got one that's very pitta, one that he's very competitive, he's very structured. And the other one's very vata, he's more creative and out there. And, you know, just allowing them to understand how, even though they were born together, they're very, very different. They've got these different constitutions. And so even foods will affect them differently because it affects their dopamine differently. And one other thing that they do breath work, like even when their motor's me becoming a bit like anxious or stressed, they're like, Mom, just breathe. Like you tell us to just breathe. And it was like, you know, you can start to see things that are really rubbed off on them because they're then using the techniques for teach me
that. So true. It's so important, hey, like even that's something I taught my partner years ago, was just the box breathing, because he's a tradie and he was really anxious. I think he was doing his capstone test, like the test they do to become an electrician, and he was like on the verge of a panic attack, and I taught him that one thing and then just forgot about it, and now I'll notice him doing it. I'm like, do you remember that? And he's like, yeah, like it helped so much. And I'm like, for like a random tradie that has no idea about any of this stuff, I was like blown away. And how incredible, like if your kids are doing it too. And that's really interesting you talk about like the different approaches, because they are different beings. Because like I look at Mickey with her three kids, for example, and they're all so different, they're so beautiful, but it's like what works for one doesn't work for others. And like just watching her like be like, okay, well I'm not going to force that with that one and things like that. And I guess you do that with yourself, right? Like you say, the self-awareness and reflection, like if it's not working, then it's like, yeah, look for something else.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And do you find there's like seasons with Ayurveda as well? Like maybe you go through a season of like doing a certain practice and then that sort of served you up until like it's run its course, maybe, I'm not sure right way to say it. And then you move on to something maybe a bit more advanced, or even like going back to basics.
Yeah. So, I mean, you can never go wrong with basics, but Ayurveda actually talks in seasons. So, we change because our doshas will change with the seasons.
Wow. Okay.
So we often change our practices depending on what season we're in. Mm-hmm. So someone who's in winter is going to be doing different, eating different foods, doing different practices than someone in summer. Also depending on their constitution. And that's even like breath work. I do teach, I've got a Vedic breath work practitioner program as well that certifies breathwork practitioners, and it's about being able to prescribe that to your clients depending on the constitution. So if someone is like really like pitta and they're hot and they're pissed off, and then you go and tell them to do like a Kapalabhati breath, which is like the intense
I've done that before.
Exciting to their system, it actually increases their sympathetic nervous system. Then it's only going to exacerbate how they're feeling. Whereas if you've got a kapha person who's feeling a bit low energy, a bit like heavy and lethargic, you're like, hey, get up in the morning, open your lungs, start doing the Kapalabhati breath, and you will start to feel into yourself and more passionate, more energized, that like you want that fire to build, as opposed to where you want the fire to cool down. So being able to individualize everything that you do, and it changes with the seasons as well, because that will influence.
That's so important. Just off on a breathwork tangent, Mickey and I are also really passionate about, like, because it really took off here on the Sunshine Coast, like I think when it was COVID, and it was like these huge breathwork sessions, and people would be having meltdowns because it would like trigger their trauma responses and like bring up all these things. And it's happened to Mickey and I before as well, and I didn't know what was happening back then. And you could probably tell by me already, just like quite heightened. And I was like, oh my God, I'm having like a panic attack from this friggin' breathing thing that's meant to like heal me. And then like, I've obviously learned more about it since then, but yeah, it just reminded me like how important it is to have that sort of be individualized and meet them where they're at. Like maybe they will, like you say, the seasons like progress from feeling that way. And then that just it doesn't have the right effect.
It's one of the reasons that I brought out the breathwork certification is because I did see such a trend, like breathwork was getting so trendy, and it was done in a very sort of masculine way. A lot of that like hyperventilating to get that parasympathetic nervous system going. And then if it wasn't trauma informed, a lot of the people running the breath practices would have their clients get into this trauma response, would be triggered, and that is not conducive for where they're at or they're here. And it was, that's why my one is a trauma informed Vedic breathwork practitioner, because you need to understand the levels of trauma and what can be brought up by increasing. If they're not feeling safe in that sympathetic system straight away, then they need to build up to that, not just go straight into that sort of breathing.
That's incredible. Yeah, we're like massive about trauma informed, like within the Red Tent, because I think it's so easy to like do a coaching certification or something and then just be like almost inadvertently. And I know, and people don't mean it, they don't mean to be horrible, but it like can come across in like take radical responsibility. And I'm guilty of that years ago. I was like on this radical responsibility train. It's because I watched The Last Dance, the Michael Jordan documentary. And then I love the PT in it and read his book. He's like radical responsibility. I'm like, wow, this is really damaging to not only my life, but probably other people's. But yeah. And I just think it's like, yeah, to really meet people where they're at and have that little bit extra education. It doesn't take long to really understand that trauma-informed side of things, but it's like obviously in depth, but once you grasp the concept, you're like, oh, you can reflect on the practices you're doing. And even for yourself, like I think self-talk and is it like trauma-informed, how you're actually behaving towards yourself as well. So important. That's so incredible. Oh my goodness. You're amazing.
Yeah, I remember when I was a new yoga teacher, I would go around because everyone loved hands-on assisting, like where you go and you help people into the posture and move them in so that.
Yeah.
And I always at the start of my class would say, like, you know, when they're in down dog, like just pop a leg up in the air because no one can see. Like, just pop that leg up if you don't want any hands-on assisting in this class. Okay.
Yeah.
Just so I know. But this time I didn't. And I went up to a girl and she like dropped to her knees and started freaking out. And she'd obviously been through this and I felt so
bad. It's hard,
and
hey.
Then I was like, oh my God, like how do I respond to this? And she'd obviously been through, you know, big traumas, but not everyone that walks into your space is going to say, hey, I've been through a trauma.
Yeah. Or know about it. Like they probably,
yeah. And so it's like having now, like, you know, this is so many years later, but I have that awareness, I have that training and understanding of how to even sort of preempt and spot it, but also just to be trauma informed before anyone, regardless, into your practice. So yeah, that was a really big learning moment for me.
Yeah, and it's so horrible because you feel so bad and all that sort of thing. And it's like, I think we even at one of my old gyms, one of the ladies was like a rape survivor and all the, and none of the like PTs would be able to stand behind her. They would always have to be in front. And it was, I was just like this poor, poor woman. Like she like amazing, good on her for like getting out there and trying it. But I'm like, oh, imagine the battles every day. And like, yeah, the last thing you want is someone to come up behind you and like spot your back squat or something like that. And it's like, yeah, this poor thing, but she was doing great. And she was just like, yeah, had a few moments, but then would communicate like, and I think, yeah, it's, if you can even like help that conversation or even know how to sort of like facilitate it, it's so helpful. Is that part of Ayurveda as well? The trauma informed side of things. Did you do a course on that sort of stuff as well? Or do you just sort of like educate yourself over time?
Yeah. So we do learn. Yeah. We do in the one that I went to, like the, where I learned so many different things, but yeah, part of like trauma-informed yoga and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Trauma-informed, yeah, coaching. Yeah. But I also have a trauma-informed coach that works with me in my program as well. We both do the teachings and the training, and she has actually been through like trauma herself.
Yeah, so yeah.
She can speak from, I mean, we've all been through trauma.
And yeah.
You know, it's not, no one's trauma is worse than, because it's all relevant to you.
Yeah.
So when I say she's been through it and I haven't. I mean, yes, I have, but it had, you know, she was as a child, she was molested
Yeah.
times by her family members. Probably should put a trigger warning there, but
Yeah.
so she can speak through how she's grown through that trauma,
Yeah.
like her extent of trauma. I don't want to say it was worse than what I've been through in my life, but
Yeah,
you know what I
yeah.
mean? Like trying not to compare.
Yeah.
She's really, yeah, had to work
No.
through a lot of things.
Yeah, that's amazing that you guys are doing that. Speaking of, I won't keep you. I would chat to you for hours, honestly. I'll probably be in touch about other things to work with you on. But how can we find you, and how can people work with you if they want to, and all those bits and pieces? And I'll put them in our sort of notes in our trainings as well.
Yeah, thank you. So, you can always shoot me a message on Instagram. I'm Harmony Inspired Ayurveda. I do have the Ayurveda Alchemist Academy on Instagram too, but I'm mostly my personal account, which is the Inspired Ayurveda. And my website is harmonyinspiredhealth.com.au. And there's a whole page with different free trainings, higher self methodology training. I do have that free masterclass coming the 8th of February as well.
Perfect.
And yeah, that they're sort of the main methods. I do have a Facebook community that
Oh,
is the
cool.
Ayurveda and Women's Health Sisterhood, and I do a lot of free live trainings in there. So I live stream my podcast into there actually
Oh, that's
all
so
the time.
smart.
Yeah,
Yeah,
so
cool.
that's fun, and you know, you get to ask questions after the episode. But yeah, my podcast is Harmony Inspired Health, and that is aimed towards women looking to optimize their health, but I also do a so every sort of second week I'm doing a podcast Evolution to Your Higher Self, which is with my colleague I was telling you
Oh,
about.
wow.
It's more aimed at health and wellness practitioners about looking to your higher self as a practitioner or a healer.
Perfect. Oh my God. Well, I'm gonna go devour all of that for the rest of today. That's so great. Thank you so much for sharing all of that and for your time and energy. It was so helpful and valuable. I just think, oh, I can't wait to, like, I have to wait for the recording to render itself, but I'm like, come on, like chomping at the bit for it to render so we can share it with everyone. So thank you so much. I'll be sure to share it with Mickey and Tiana too, and hopefully we can try and do some kind of like co corporate, but not corporate, training together as well, if that's okay. I think we'd love it. And I didn't even introduce myself properly. I'm Beck, and I just sort of run the business for Mickey because she's got three kids and like two other businesses and things like that. And Tiana is a gun as well. She used to work with like CEOs and fly all over the world, and now she's come to help our little sorry souls out and get ourselves organized. But yeah, hopefully we'll get to all meet you again soon. But thank you so much. That was amazing.
So welcome. Thank you for having
Bye.
me. Appreciate it.
Thanks. Well, I'll probably email you shortly anyway with a million other questions, but yeah, I'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Thank
Bye.
you. Have a good day. Bye.
Big thanks for hanging out till the end. I'm curious though, did you skip the intro, eager to get into the juicy contents of this episode? No worries if you did, but you may have missed my important announcement and the accredited Ayurveda Alchemist program that was calling your name. It's the golden ticket to becoming a certified Ayurveda and women's holistic health coach. Dive into ancient Ayurvedic wisdom and give your health and wellness biz the glow up it deserves. If you are ready to ride this transformative wave, apply at harmonyinspiredhealth.com.au/Ayurveda Alchemist. I hope you enjoyed this episode. It means a lot to me that you have taken time out of your day to listen. Let's keep the convo going on socials. Dive into our amazing community on Facebook full of soulful women like you, the Ayurveda and Women's Health Sisterhood Facebook group, where we keep these conversations going and offer other free live training. You can find me personally on Instagram at Harmony Inspire Ayurveda, or take a sneak peek into the Ayurveda Alchemist Academy on Instagram at Ayurveda Alchemist Academy. And don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss the next chat. And if you're on iTunes, a 5-star rating It's like giving us a high five of podcast love. I appreciate you, my friend. Have a wonderful day or evening, whatever time it is in your part of the world.